And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad to, just so glad that we're able to broadcast to you. And thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. We broadcast over three platforms: Global Star Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and of course YouTube Live, where you can watch us live. Our two websites of primary, two primary websites, Hagman and Hagman.com. There you can watch us live. HagmanReport.com. That's for all of the news and information, articles of interest, of course. Get your cutting edge news there. Please bookmark HagmanReport.com, as well as, of course, our YouTube channel. We ask, we humbly ask, even if you're listening to this on any venue, and even if you never have a desire to or an intention to watch our video, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That does elevate our visibility. And that brings me to this opening statement. I don't know whether how I look, I don't, folks, I don't know how many people are aware of what InfoWars Alex Jones is going through right now with respect to AdRoll, the firm that if you don't know what I'm talking about, I would suggest visiting InfoWars.com. If you do know what I'm talking about, understand that this is a fact, a factor, I guess, in the censorship of the new media, of the independent media. And this is a tactic that is going to be used and is being used across the board on media platforms, including but not limited to InfoWars, but ours as well. Now, some of this you'll never see. It's kind of like sausage making. You'll never see it unless you're behind the scenes. But this is in part why we ask you to subscribe. This is why we ask, you know, for your patience, for your support, for your prayers, because this is a war going on right now. And I'm just going to leave it right there. And Alex Jones, his righteous indignation. I mean, he had every right to be upset, because look, January 26, 2012, we were kicked off of GoDaddy, for example, because we allegedly violated their terms of service. We were given 48 hours to get off GoDaddy's servers. Censorship, in my view. We violated no terms of service. In fact, I watched the 2012 interview with Alex Jones, or with InfoWars, I did, and laughed because, wow, you know, we have grown. Then, of course, when we had stood up and said, no, we're not going to carry on with various companies that promote or advocate same-sex marriage, and I understand the oxymoronic nature of that statement, then, of course, we suffered our own financial setback of close to $100,000. And that was concurrent with the Obergefell decision, or the court case, Supreme Court case of Obergefell. And so we've been through the rounds there. We're also going through the rounds again, even now. And that's why yesterday, when we opened yesterday, that's why I was very upset and still am. And I'll tell you one thing. If the alternative media, the new media, if we don't band together, and I'm talking about all of us, if we don't band together, we are going to hang separately. And that's why I am so proud to have with us today Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. I'm going to bring Joe on, and then Joe can bring Paul on. But I just want to open with that statement. And, folks, let me tell you, the war is just starting. And it's a war, and you've got no idea the fights, the battles that we're fighting. Why aren't we talking about some of them? Because legally, we cannot. That's all I'm going to say. But if you knew the back stories, the backroom stories, I think you would think a little bit differently about the independent media and the voracious, is that a word, voracious? Yeah, I guess it is.
I have no idea.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Paul. All right, Joe, anyway.
It's great to be here. Yeah, and Paul McGuire is our guest. I don't want to take any time away from him. Just a couple things on Hagman Report. Put up a few stories this morning. One was rather interesting. MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe actually said, it's our job to control exactly what people think. Very important.
And let me just say this. We think enough of you, our listening audience. Look, you know how to think for yourselves. You can think for yourself. We're not going to tell you how to think. Paul McGuire is not going to tell you how to think. You know how to think. And you've got that God-given ability, so use it. Joe.
Absolutely. And the second thing I want to mention, I'm keeping my eyes on the what James O'Keefe is doing. Apparently tomorrow he's going to release hundreds of hours of inside newsroom footage, I guess primarily of CNN, behind-the-scenes footage. And apparently, from what he says, it's pretty damaging. And I know his organization does good work, so we're keeping our eyes on that. But with that, let's bring Paul McGuire from PaulMcGuire.us on. He's the host of The Paul McGuire Report on Blog Talk Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Paul, it's great to have you back on the show.
Doug, Joe, great to be back on your show, as usual. And thank you for having me on.
You're the man. I love your set, Babylon Code, of course. Got to tell you, folks, Babylon Code, Mass Awakening. Get all of Paul's books. Go to PaulMcGuire.us. The fabulous books. I still read. Actually, I read Babylon Code. It's on my nightstand, as is Mass Awakening. So, good stuff. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, it's great to be on your show, and it was interesting what you talked about. And before I knew what kind of questions you were going to ask me for today, this whole thing, I didn't know about the advertising dollar hit against InfoWars. But it's interesting that you talk about this, because I've been obsessed with this whole thing about fake news and constant references by the fake news media to call the truthful or alternative media Orwellian or 1984. Now, I grew up, as you guys know, in Jackson Heights, Queens, PS 69. I didn't grow up in the school, but that's where I went to school. So in third grade, I did my book reports on George Orwell's 1984 and Brave New World. And I totally got 1984 and Orwell's book because of the childhood I had. I was surrounded by people who thought, and they thought out of the box. Let's just put it that way. So what we're looking at is George Orwell's 1984 coming to life at hyperspeed. And Joe, you made reference to the Brzezinski girl. I assume she's the daughter of... Yep.
Of Zbigniew.
Yeah.
She's a demonic spawn of Zig Brzezinski, yes.
Right, yeah, okay. So Brzezinski, as you guys know, and most of your audience knows, he's the guy who wrote books like The Grand Chess Game, or Chessboard. He's the co-founder of the Trilateral Commission. He's the globalist of globalists. And he advocated in 1976 in his book the use of psychotronic weapons, mind control, and all kinds of things. So isn't it interesting that his daughter has genetically, I guess it's been passed on, the genes of fascism seem to be very active in her biological system, because the job of the news media in a free nation is not to control the people. Now, her father advocated the control of the people, because that's what Huxley, who wrote Brave New World and called for a scientific dictatorship where the elite would be so programmed and so brainwashed by the media that they would love their slavery and they wouldn't even know they were slaves. So right now we're in the most intense media war. And let me say something of good news first. First is that if the powers behind the demonization of Alex Jones and the assault on alternative media if they were not truly frightened of the power of alternative media, if they didn't perceive that alternative media was an enormous threat, they wouldn't be spending so much time attacking them. The very fact that we see them attacking alternative media with such aggressiveness is like a giant neon sign that we should be saying, they're actually saying to us, if our perception is heightened, they're saying to us, we are afraid of you. We know that you have the power to bring this nation back under its constitutional freedoms, like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, and so on and so forth. We know that you have the power to bring those freedoms back. So when they attack Alex Jones or any other member of the alternative media, they are essentially shouting, we are scared, we are frightened, because from a rational, logical basis, their overreaction, and it is an overreaction, their overreaction betrays their fear. And secondly, who's ever behind this psyops to do this, psychological operations, you're looking at whoever it is. These people are like low-level, incompetent psyop people. Now, I don't want to say that again. They're amateurs. I don't care if they're professionals at the game of mass psyops. But the reality is they're amateurs. They're like bumbling idiots. And the reason they're bumbling idiots is because they don't really understand psyops. They have read, for example, they cheated in their college courses at the military academy, and they read psyops for dummies, because they couldn't understand the complexity of real psyops. Now, as you know, I'm not a big fan of the person I'm going to mention, his belief system. In fact, I am very against his belief system. But when you read Colonel Michael Aquino, the once Satanist, I don't know what he would classify himself now as, but he's probably the most leading authority on psyops in the world today. And he had a position high up in the NSA, and he wrote a book called Mind Wars. And as you know, he contacted me after reading my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And I read his book, Mind Wars. And this guy understands sophisticated psyops. If you compared what he is talking about in his book, Mind Wars, with this buffoonery of people who are planning their psyops and only read psyops for dummies, you'd see how ludicrous it is. So the bottom line here is, even though this is a dangerous threat to freedom, the current level of intelligence of people running this psyops operation, their intellectual level is basically synonymous with people who did not go to class for psyops. They instead opted to read psyops for dummies.
Exactly. And very well said. Prophecy of the Future of America, folks, right here. Also, Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. Two different books, by the way, but fantastic groundwork, Paul, that you've laid with your writings, your research, and, of course, your presentation. Go ahead and continue, man.
Well, the other thing is, being that I was obsessed with George Orwell's novel 1984 in third grade, and also A Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. And I gave a book report on it, and my teachers didn't understand the books at all. And I noticed that the media has been making reference, for example, to Donald Trump and his administration as being a fulfillment of George Orwell's 1984. And that a Broadway theater production is going to be released on Broadway about Orwell, and I think they're going to call it 1984. But the thing is, all these liberal mainstream media people, they don't get 1984, and if they do get it, they have twisted it. If Orwell was alive, and he was sitting in the studio with you guys right now, if George Orwell was alive, he would, without any question, point to the mainstream media as the primary source of fake news, and he would point to the mainstream media, including the Brzezinski girl, as being the very people that he was warning about in 1984. Orwell wasn't warning about the alternative media, but by no stretch of the imagination. They've turned it upside down. Orwell was warning about what I call the media industrial complex, because the mass media that we have today is in the business of scientific mind control, persuasion, propaganda, and things of that nature. So, because, again, we're dealing with very clumsy individuals who don't even get the basics of psyops, they create this, they believe, is a very effective weapon in the battle for the hearts and minds of mankind. They developed this concept called fake news. And essentially, the proper definition of fake news is anybody who disagrees with us, the mainstream media, is automatically fake news.
And Paul, yesterday, Don Lemon on CNN was interviewing a panel, I think there were four or five people, and Don Lemon asked one of the panelists, what is your definition of fake news? And this panelist, and he was a African-American man.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They were talking about the Secret Service protection for Trump and his family. If it was
the cost, dollar cost.
Yeah,
right.
And he asked the panelist opinion on it, and the panelist said, well, this is fake news, what we're talking about here. And then Don Lemon had this real bad reaction, saying, well, then you're part of the fake news story. And
right.
You know, and then he did ask him to define fake news.
And he said, and he ended up walking what off. This is right here. And then Lemon took out his earpiece and just turned around and you know, said that basically the segment's over. But so just to be clear, your definition, Paul McGuire's definition, and I think it would be the same as ours, is fake news is anything that is not consistent with what the corporate Illuminati controlled mass media says it is.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's just, all it is it's a con game. It's a bad poker game. So see, the mainstream media, I mean, this is the factual basis for everything we're talking about. The mainstream media used to control the thoughts of all Americans for the last 40 years. Like when I was a kid, probably when you guys were kids, at different ages, of course, but you were kids at one time, and I was. And I'm going to be very, very honest with you. I said this to my wife. I've said this to my wife for 20 or 30 years, long before this fake news came out. And, you know, I even contemplated doing something about it in terms of legal action. People are brutalized, abused, and molested. And on one hand, people are going to think I'm being satirical, but I'm not. I'm very serious. I believe, and this is before fake news, this was back when I was a hippie, a radical liberal, demonstrating with the radical socialists. I believed, even back then, that I was being psychologically molested, psychologically abused by CBS, NBC, and ABC, and people like Dan Rather in 60 Minutes. Because even though I couldn't process it, even though I didn't have the intellectual strength to really get my hands around it, I always had, watching those three networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, this awkward, intuitive feeling that I was being lied to, that I was being manipulated, and that they were distorting and concealing the truth, manipulating the facts for some kind of hidden agenda, which back then, I didn't know what their hidden agenda is. Today, I do. So, for years, I've carried with me this sense of trauma. You may think it's satirical, but it's not. Now, I'm a big boy, and I got over it. But I was traumatized as a child watching the three networks because, you know, children are created with an instinctual knowledge of what is true and what is false. And so on an instinctual level, as a young child, when I would watch these three networks, you know, these guys like Dan Rather and Brokaw and Brian Williams and Katie Couric and the rest of them, they were supposed to be the epitome of credibility and journalistic ethics. But I could sense as a young child intuitively that they were like fraudulent. So to this day, I believe they've done tremendous measurable psychological damage. This is my personal opinion. Tremendous psychological damage to the American public. Because under the guise of pretending to be journalistically ethical, which they were not, under the guise of saying that they had no agenda, which they did, they were essentially the Orwellian, George Orwell's thought police. They were the extension of Big Brother. They were programming the American public, just like Orwell talked about when he used expressions like freedom is slavery, war is peace in their broadcasts. And as an adult, when I finally got around them and did my own research, I discovered that they were the agents for a one-world agenda, a one-world government, the disarmament of the United Nations, the promotion of the UN as a global government, that they were actually the spokespeople for the globalist elite. And this whole fake news versus mainstream media news comes down to this. The mainstream media, with all their money, with all their billions and billions of dollars for advertising, for buildings, for broadcast facilities, for paying for stars and wardrobe and lighting, billions and billions and billions of dollars. I mean, they have this all-comprehensive media complex which dominates the consciousness of this nation. With all their money and their power and their writers and their stars and their deep connections to international banks, they have been put on the run. They have been defeated by a small group of ordinary people who are operating on like shoestring budgets or very modest budgets. They have been defeated in the area of ideas by the alternative news media.
Yep.
And so this is a jealous reaction. This is a reaction of jealousy. And we want to shut you up because you're beating us with all our power and money. You're exposing us as the frauds and liars that we are.
It's interesting, too. A couple of comments on what you just said about journalists and about the end product, the regurgitated product of people. We'll go back into the 60s, for example, Howard K. Smith. Walter Cronkite, of course, the granddaddy of them all. And where I saw, at least in my view, how the product, which is the news at that time, was refined, is when, and I had mentioned this earlier in the week, there was a show on, I think, Monday, I think American Heroes Channel or some obscure channel where they released raw footage of the Kennedy assassination from different, that included some reporters' raw information spewing out over the airwaves, television airwaves. When you look at that footage of the reporters out of breath coming into the studio, this is what we know, and you know, looking at the sheets and sweating and smoking and you know, just saying, man, you know, the breaking story, and bam, bam, they're giving you facts. And then you look a couple, well, three, four, five, six hours later at the end product where it comes out of the mouth of Cronkite or some other anchor. The difference, the disparity between that moment of frenzy and just the facts, and here's what's going on, to this polished product that's aimed at convincing the listener or viewer of what is true. It was starkly different in my view. And I think people have to really kind of think about that for a moment and understand. Again, you've got that up to the minute right now reporting. Here it is, sweating, cigarette in one hand, notebook in another, phone, you know, on the shoulder, kind of saying this is going on, happening right now. And then, of course, the versus the end polished product. That's one thing. And, I'll just leave it at that because I think that's extremely important for people to understand how this programming is really brought to the American people. And you referenced it there with what you said.
Well, you're right. And you can take any pivotal moment in U.S. history, any great historic moment. And you just made reference to one of the greatest historic moments in the last 50, 60 years, and that was the Kennedy assassination. And no matter what you think about the conclusion, it's obvious from watching the footage of the Walter Cronkite especially and CBS and NBC and ABC that they did not do a proper investigation, that they were covering something up, they weren't following up on leads, they weren't telling the truth. That is a glaring example. No matter what you think happened with the Kennedy assassination, even if you think it happened according to the official story, or this theory, or that theory, or the other theory, it is blatantly obvious that the major news networks did, in reality, no public investigative reporting, no digging around, no serious journalism. They simply were propagandists. And what that is a massive violation of trust and its betrayal between the American people who are trusting the free press to do their job. It's a massive betrayal. It's a massive violation of trust at a heavy level. Okay, it's to me the equivalent of somebody who's married committing adultery on their spouse. It's a violation of the deepest covenant.
Paul, we're going to pick right up after the break. You're listening to the Hagmann and the Hagmann Report. Paul McGuire is our guest. PaulMcGuire.us. Give us 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Hagman and Hagman Reporter, very special guest, Mr. Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. Visit his website, grab a hold of his books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Mass Awakening. I had the honor of doing the foreword to that. That's one of my favorite books of all time. And just visit paulmcguire.us. Look at his articles, his research products, fantastic things that he does. He's got a great DVD package as well. Highly recommended for anyone. And you know, you can always give those away to people as buy them for others as tools to awaken others. It's so important to be awake right now. We are, I believe, we are entering into a very dangerous time. A couple of announcements before we get back to Paul. I'm going to be on Coast to Coast tonight with George Norrie. Going to drop in just briefly at the beginning, at the top of the show, to talk about some terrorism in general. That's tonight. I'll be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie briefly. And also want to remind everyone, please sign up for Awaken to the Shaken, the conference, and just north of Chicago, Illinois, in Gurnee, Illinois. That's going to be May 5th and 6th. Paul Begley is putting that on, Pastor Paul Begley. Go to paulbegleyprophecy.com. We're going to be there with Russ Dizdar, as well as Paul Begley, and I'm going to be giving a couple of presentations that include, but are not limited to, of course, providing courtroom exhibits or courtroom-ready exhibits about the Islamic training centers here in the United States, up-to-date information, and that's going to be one of the two presentations that are going to be on tap. Now, getting back to Paul McGuire, don't forget, folks, back in November of 2017, back last year, whenever it was, the NDAA Act of 2017, which brought in the Board of Broadcast Governors, of course, directed by the Pentagon, essentially federalized our news media. Obama signed the bill federalizing all media, essentially. It destroyed, or attempted to destroy, I shouldn't say destroyed, it was attempting, it was shot across the bow of alternative independent media, which they have dubbed as fake news, as Paul McGuire stated. So, getting back to Paul McGuire, Paul, go ahead and continue. I know that you look at the headlines on Drudge, for example, there's some interesting pieces pointing to what you had described as supposedly fake news, and some programming as well that we had talked about right before or during the break.
Sure. I'm going to get into this Homeland episode in a second, but before I do, you know, growing up in New York City in an atheist family where everybody was liberal, including myself, the New York Times was our Bible on Sunday morning. We all sat around and read sections of the New York Times. And, you know, back then, the New York Times was a liberal paper, but it made a significant effort to display journalistic integrity, and it had a sense of fairness to it, which gave it integrity. And many other liberal publications back then had integrity. They leaned hard to the left, but at least they made an effort to be ethical and to have journalist integrity. Today, we don't even see that anymore. I was watching Homeland. I had enjoyed the original series and hadn't seen it in about a year, and my particular satellite provider was offering like 3 days you could watch Showtime or whatever for free. So I happened to catch this episode where they spent a lot of money on it. And then as I'm watching this episode, there is this extreme right, alternative right radio talk show host who has an English accent and a beard, but it's obvious that he is Alex Jones because he's mimicking Alex Jones' mannerisms, and he is personifying Alex Jones but looking different and embellishing it. And I'm watching this thing, and what hits me immediately within 3 seconds is that this is psyops. This is psychological operations. This is propaganda. Because obviously, the media industrial complex, Alex Jones is not this fringe tinfoil hat conspiracy guy. He's actually a guy whose ratings on his program vastly exceeds I believe Morning Joe's show with the Brzezinski girl, and many, many other so-called mainstream media shows. And he only has a fraction of the budget. And yet he is so threatening to this Goliath of a media establishment that they're attacking him in Homeland. Now, then there are a couple of themes came out. First of all, the guy who was playing the Alex Jones radio talk show host, they portrayed him as going partially mentally unstable. So they're saying he's partially insane and dangerous. Secondly, the female lead, that the big spy with the blonde hair, I forgot her name, her boyfriend got really injured in a previous episode, and so, like, he's not all there mentally. He's, like, partially insane, they're saying, but he's a big fan of this Alex Jones show, and it's obvious it's Alex Jones. And so they're making, what they're saying is that people who are attracted to this show are mentally unstable. That's the psyop part of it. In addition, the other psyop part of Homeland is that the host himself is psychologically unstable. Then, with uncanny accuracy, the producers and writers for Homeland have a female president. This is the beginning of a new part of the series. Female president. So they got that wrong. And then as the show goes on with terrorism, the female president's assistant turns out to be a big fan of the Alex Jones show. And then the female president is watching this Alex Jones show on Homeland. So right in that one episode, we see all of this embedded psyops. The psyops we see is that people who watch him are partially crazy and unbalanced. And you can see where the show is leading, because it's leading to the place that there's going to be some kind of terrorist incident that's going to be cataclysmic. And you can just figure out and predict, because the writers, they must have switched them. They're not as good as they used to be. The writers have already indicated that there's going to be some kind of huge terrorist event, and you can tell that they're laying the groundwork to blame the event not on the militant Islamic terrorists, because the sub-communication is that the militant Islamic terrorists are not the danger. The real danger to America are conservatives, people who believe in the Constitution, people who watch Alex Jones or listen to Alex Jones. They're the real domestic terrorists. So this is all a psyops designed to plant into the subconscious of countless millions of Americans that it's not the Muslims that are the greatest threat to America. It's the white extremists who believe in the Constitution, who watch Alex Jones. They're mentally unstable. Hillary laid the groundwork when she deliberately chose the mind control word. She called them the deplorables. That wasn't a slip of the tongue by Hillary. They planned that out in a meeting. That was a psyops word. Deplorables. That was like a soft run at identifying Alex Jones viewers or people that are voters, people who voted for Donald Trump are these crazy maniacs, more dangerous to America than the Muslims. And that's what they're going. So they've completely reversed the basic foundation of the show. Used to be that the CIA and the intelligence agencies were battling the Muslim terrorists and who have infiltrated America. Now, they've done a 180-degree turn, and the real terrorists that the CIA and the government has to fight are the Alex Jones, the Donald Trump voters. This is a psyops operation with the eventual destination of ripping all alternative media, including religious alternative media, ripping it from the internet, ripping it from broadcast, ripping it from the radio, and censoring it and making it illegal and a hate crime. And it'll probably be the crime that people will commit in a court of law who hosts these shows. It'll be done under some kind of anti-terrorism act. So this is an ultimate Nazi-like operation designed to completely remove, in Orwellian style, any attempt to criticize the mainstream media and this globalist program of forcing us, whether we like it or not, to unite with militant Islamic extremists.
But Paul, let me ask this question of you. We have long talked about this. You have long talked about this, and I totally agree with you on what you're saying here. The alternative media, and especially the Christian biased alternative media or new media. I don't like alternative media. I don't like that phrase. I guess sometimes old habits are difficult to break, but the independent media, and especially the Christian media, is in fact, in my view, and is consistent with yours, we're in the crosshairs of the globalists, and at some point in time, I believe they will criminalize us. And I think on that road to criminalization, the incremental censorship by way of removing methods of funding, as we saw with InfoWars, and censorship, as we see with playing with our numbers, because numbers, folks, dictate rates or ad revenue or ad interest, for example. So they'll look at your numbers and say, man, you know what? You're not really pulling in a lot of numbers. So we're not going to really, nah, thanks. We're going to pass. But see, that's how they, the powers attempt to censor your message by way of the pocketbook. But my question to you, Paul, is why haven't we seen this yet? This move to criminalize the speech. We're seeing some pretty heavy blows, but not the criminalization part yet here in America.
Well, not yet, because as you just said, they work incrementally, and also I think they were caught with a curveball. I really believe that people in many places of high power, either in terms of a shadow government or actual government or the mainstream media, et cetera, they truly believed that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency. It was a slam dunk for her. So this whole thing with Donald Trump getting into the White House has caught them off guard. And as such, it's delayed their schedule, and they're having to recalibrate their strategy. Now, the other thing is, I can't tell you, you know I do a lot of research, Doug. So I'm finishing a new book, even as we talk, before this stuff with Alex Jones and everything came out. And I'm doing intensive research into a number of areas. I deal with these areas in great length in, like, Mass Awakening, that you were kind enough to write the foreword to, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, and Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. And other books. I deal with what we're talking about now because it's so important. So I'm going to try to say this as quickly as I can. And before I say it, though, I want to add this remark, which is in my books heavily, because I think people need to self-educate themselves, because knowledge is power. The primary basis for scientific mind control or programming requires that the population is dumbed down. And our population, via the school system and the media primarily, have dumbed down the American public for the last 60 years. People are not capable of thinking analytically. They can't look at the big picture. They have no knowledge of history. They have no knowledge of philosophy. They can't see through propaganda, most of them. They're in a trance state, you know, not zombie-like trance state, but they're in a trance state. And that is necessary to make people compliant and never question anything. So they've been scientifically dumbed down. Now, this isn't just Paul McGuire saying this. I talk about it in Mass Awakening and the other books. The Frankfurt School in Germany was created by a bunch of Marxist professors who were formerly in Moscow working for Lenin and the Communist Party and the KGB. They left these communist professors left to establish the Marxist school called the Frankfurt School in Germany because they believed that the most effective way to initiate a communist Marxist revolution in America and Europe would be to do it through a cultural media revolution, okay? And so all these Marxist intellectuals and thinkers spent a great deal of time laying out a game plan, which has been in place for since 1930, in America especially. And the Marxist Frankfurt professors of the Frankfurt School said this: through culture, through things like political correctness, through the manipulation of the media, they said their number one goal was to destroy Christianity. The number two goal was to destroy traditional marriage and family. And the number three goal was to destroy any sense of patriotism and nationalism. And so everything they do was designed to destroy those fundamental institutions, because they knew if they could destroy those fundamental institutions, they could shatter America and conquest would be easy. So, we're in a climate where people are scientifically dumbed down. And with the Alex Jones thing, you know, people 20 years ago would have seen right through that and laughed how preposterous it is, because it's just openly transparent, in-your-face psychological operations. So they're constantly manipulating information. The whole fake news thing is nothing more, because the Frankfurt School Marxists, one of their specializations is to use language, vocabulary, words, and terms to program people or place people under mind control. That's why they use political correctness. Orwell did this in his book, 1984. So this demonization of people who believe in the Constitution, who are free thinkers, by the mainstream media comes right out of the Frankfurt School. And what they're intending to do is program the American people to hate America, want a globalist government, want a totalitarian government. And the interesting thing is, when you read back into the actual plans of the Frankfurt School, which I quote in my books, they said in the 1930s that whenever an individual should rise up in America or Europe and talk about the need to be patriotic or talk about the need for nationalism, they said the most effective way to destroy that individual is to accuse that individual in the media constantly, 24/7, of being a fascist, of being a Nazi, and being like Adolf Hitler. So what do you hear the mainstream media saying almost word for word when they're criticizing Trump? They're calling him a Nazi, a fascist, an Adolf Hitler, and that's right out of a playbook developed in the 1930s.
So, where are we going to go from here, Paul? Are we going to see this continue to intensify with the talking heads in the media and other people, you know, the outspoken political left, if you will? Or are people going to, is the rhetoric and the division and hatred going to kind of die down? What do you expect to see in the near future?
In the near future, I expect to see a quantum acceleration of anger and rhetoric. I expect to see I'm not advocating this, obviously, but I expect to see a vast increase in violence, domestic terrorism. Every imaginable horror is going to increase because it's heavily financed by very powerful people who have billions of dollars to spend, and it's being organized by professional, very high-level organizers. You take the demonstrations at JFK. Well, anybody who's been to New York knows that people don't want to go from Queens or Manhattan or anywhere and go all the way out to JFK. It's a nightmare. But why did so many people show up to demonstrate during a working day? Because they got paid $50 cash, and they got their transportation paid for. They were given a free lunch. So these were demonstrators that were paid to be there. That's why there were so many of them. It wasn't an honest expression of outrage. And then when you see constantly at a moment's notice, an event will happen, and you'll see mass demonstrations all over the United States. These are all being coordinated from a central planning committee. They all have financing. They all have advance notice. People have to understand that there is a vast network that has been in place for a long time, but now it's fully operational. There's a vast network of demonstrators, anarchists, and people who want to see America destroyed because they're Marxists. It's already in place. And then with social media, you can drive it even faster. Now, one thing I want to bring up, which I brought up before, and that is this PSYOP principle or psychological operations principle called emotional contagion. And I wrote about emotional contagion in Mass Awakening and the new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, and the 4-DVD set, and I also wrote about it in the first A Prophecy of the Future of America. Emotional contagion is a psychological operations strategy that involves capturing the highest level emotion, let's say of anger or outrage or injustice or the desire for revolution. You capture that, it's at the boiling point, it's exploding. You capture that emotion, and it acts like a virus. Therefore, it's an emotional contagion. The emotion is the propensity to be violent and demonstrate and tear down the government. So you transmit that emotional virus. The fastest way you can is you can cause the emotional contagion to spread in a matter of hours or 24 hours to millions of people. And through things like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and every social media thing imaginable, emails and every type of social media, internet radio, TV broadcasting, whatever, you pass that emotional contagion on and you targeted it to the group that are most liable to act on it. And that's how these groups, and these groups that caused regime changes in Middle Eastern nations, they toppled numerous governments using the internet, social media, and emotional contagion. That was financed by the same super billionaires that are financing these demonstrations in the United States. So the same operatives, the same psychological operations people, and the same billionaires that created the Arab Spring, because the Arab Spring revolutions were created by emotional contagion virally through social media. They're doing that. All these demonstrations that you're seeing everywhere are the result of a psychological operation strategy that incorporates emotional contagion, which is spreading virally the emotion to demonstrate and tear down an existing order, with the end game of revolution and regime change.
We only have hang on, I'm going to toss it to you, but Paul, I did a video on Sunday. That's exactly, look, the refinement, we got about 2 minutes to break, but the refinement of the operations, the marches that we see, the women's march in Washington and cities all across the United States, the protest, whether it's resist fascism or millennials for revolution, whatever anarchist arm of the larger group, we're seeing this across the country, has been refined over the last two decades. It's coming out of the college campuses. I want people just to remember the name George Ciccariello Mayer, M-A-H-E-R, George, I believe it's Ciccariello Mayer. He's a associate professor of politics and global studies at Drexel University in Philadelphia. Watch him. He's a avowed communist. But people like him and following the Bill Ayers school of thought, these are the people, as you pointed out, who are controlling the environment. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and I guess, Dad, you just kind of answered my question. Obviously, this is not something that, you know, that has been organized since the election. This has gone back over some time through the Obama administration. I wonder, though, how much, you know, we saw how the news media pushed for Hillary Clinton. You had Congress and senators saying, oh, you know, there's no chance Trump can win. You had the media saying that there was zero chance Trump could win. So that makes me question, you know, was this something that's been in the planning stages for a while in order to roll out against the next opponent who was in charge, or was this rolled out specifically for Trump? And obviously their end game is chaos. But as I said, this is not something that has been, you know, just patched together since the election as a natural response to the Trump presidency. This is something that has been much more organized.
Yeah, and Paul, if you can speak on the deep state when we come back, as it relates to the Obama staying in D.C., mm-hmm. the people behind that. Go ahead.
And how much of the Obama administration involved inside and outside of the deep state are, you know, the ones who are creating all this turmoil for the Trump administration, yeah, like the leaks.
We're not talking political, by the way. We're talking...
A little bit. I saw John McCain today was fingered by the White House for being the source of the White House transcripts of the phone calls between leaders. And we know John McCain and Lindsey Graham have been two senators on the wrong side of life since they've been in office. But we're going to get your take when we come back, folks. We're talking with Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us, the Paul McGuire Report on Blog Talk Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. He'll be with us through the next hour, so don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. But what Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.